Good evening. Please turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We all face problems and challenges in our daily lives. The question is how we react to such challenges or sometimes crises in our lives. Today we shall look at how King Jehoshaphat reacted to a major crisis he faced in his life. This is a great story of the deliverance of God's people by the Almighty God. Chapter 20, verse 1 onwards. It happened after this that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hesazon Tamar, which is En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God, our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it, and you and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of our possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Let me stop there for the time being. Here we read the prayer of King Jehoshaphat to the Almighty God. We read, as we read in verse 1 and 2, the king and the people of Judah are on the verge of being attacked by the people of Moab and Ammonites. If you can turn a couple of pages to chapter 17, we can get some background on King Jehoshaphat. I'll read a few verses. "Then Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel, and he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrison in the land of Judah and the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father David. He did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father and walked his commandments and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom of his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat, and he had riches and honor in abundance. And his heart took delight in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he removed the high places and wooden images from Judah. And verse 7, also in the third year of his reign, he sent his leaders, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. Verse 9, so they taught in Judah and had the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon the kingdom of the lands that were around Judah, so that they did not make any war against Jehoshaphat. So, if you go back, I have no time to go through. Chapter 16, we read his father was King Asa. After his death, he became the king in Judah. He was approximately 35 years old when he became the king, and he reigned about 25 years in Jerusalem. The meaning of the word Jehoshaphat is the Lord is judge. And we read that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father, King David. In chapter 17, if you read further, we can see the zeal of King Jehoshaphat. We read some of the verses of that. Zeal of King Jehoshaphat for the Lord. He sent Levites and his people to all the land of Judah to teach the book of the law of the Lord to the people. We cannot imagine that now, sending traveling preachers all the land sponsored by the government to teach the word of God in public places, schools, in everywhere. And the result we read in verse 10, the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land. But when you come to chapter 18, we read that Jehoshaphat made marriage alliance with King Ahab. Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, married Ahab's daughter, Athaliah. Ahab was a king in Israel, not at that time, a very wicked king according to the scripture. And the word of God reminds us that we should never have alliances with ungodly people. If you read verse 1 to 7, we can get a picture what happened when King Jehoshaphat visited King Ahab. I have no time to read that, but he threw a big party for him. After that, he inviting Jehoshaphat to join with him to go to war against Ramoth Gilead. If you look at verse 3, Ahab, king of Israel, said, chapter 18, verse 3, will you go with me against Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as you are, and my people as your people will be with you in the war. He readily accepted his invitation. But in verse 4, we read, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire for the word of the Lord today. It is a good practice to seek first the counsel of God before we engage any important matter in our lives. In verse 5, to satisfy Jehoshaphat, King Ahab brought 400 prophets who all agreed that the battle is good and it is from God. And Jehoshaphat still felt uneasy. So he asked him, is there any other prophets more we can inquire about? See verse 6 in chapter 18. Is there not still a prophet of the Lord there that we may inquire of him? In verse 7 we read that Ahab said, yes, there is one prophet. His name is Micaiah. But I do not like him because he never prophesied anything good about me. Anyhow, upon the request of King Jehoshaphat, he brought him. And he, the prophet, clearly spoke against King Ahab. And King Ahab was not happy. He put him in the jail. With all that, God spoke very clearly that day to them. Jehoshaphat, unfortunately, went with Ahab for the war to Ramoth Gilead. And we read that they were defeated by their enemies, and the king Ahab was killed in that war. The Lord showed mercy to King Jehoshaphat, and he somehow escaped and returned back to his house in Jerusalem. When we come to chapter 19, we read that in chapter 19, verse 2 and 3, Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to the king Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your hearts to seek God. I believe Jehoshaphat repented after that, because we read in chapter 19 a great reformation carried out by the king. In verse 4, chapter 19, we read, so Jehoshaphat dwelt in Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people of Beersheba to the mountain of Ephraim, and brought them back to the Lord their God and their fathers. God used Jehoshaphat to bring about great revival in Israel. The people were enjoying the rest and prosperity during that time, when suddenly Moabites and Ammonites came against them for war. Now, this is the background of the prayer of King Jehoshaphat, which we read first in chapter 20. Jehoshaphat basically was a good and godly king. He walked, as we read, in the ways of David, King David. He brought great revival in Israel. Yet a big army of three nations came together to destroy him and his people. In verse 2 we read that the invading army was En-Gedi, which is only 15 or 20 miles from Jerusalem, just a day's march for the army. What was Jehoshaphat's response? Look verse 3. Chapter 20, verse 3. Jehoshaphat was feared or afraid. If you look at chapter 17, when you have time, read from chapter 17, verses 13 to 19. You can see the great army Jehoshaphat had at that time. More than 1.1 million people. Can you believe that? Two tribes, and they have an army of 1.1 million people. I looked at the internet and see how many countries in the world have such armies. Only two. The United States has, I believe, less than 500,000 in the army. I'm talking only about the army. But Jehoshaphat, with all that army and all that power, we read that he was afraid because the army came against him was much more powerful with three nations. It is very true that fear normally brings us to our knees and forces us to look to God for help. When life is calm, when we feel that life is manageable and things are going well, when we are healthy, then the chances for us to look to God very less with our needs. But when we face a crisis in our life, like a serious health issue or losing a job, then we draw closer to God in prayer. This was the response of Jehoshaphat. In verse 4, Jehoshaphat was afraid, so he turned his attention to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So the first thing he did to seek the face of the God, face of the Lord, and it is a good lesson for us not to depend or trust our own ability or our own strength or turn to the world, but we should learn to look to God for our help, from where our help cometh. In verse 6 to 12 in chapter 20, we read three main principles of Jehoshaphat's prayer. The first thing Jehoshaphat did was praise God. Second, he identifies the problem. And third, he asks God for help. First, Jehoshaphat praises God. He praised God for who he is. Look, verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 6, art thou not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in thy hand, so that no one can stand against thee. After praising God for his attributes, Jehoshaphat then goes on to praise God for his mighty acts accomplished in history. Verse 7, we read, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? Why is this important? Because sometimes circumstances tempt us to take different approaches. We may look to the world for help and take shortcuts to resolve our problems. As we read earlier, Jehoshaphat has been faithful to the Lord most of the time of his reign. So Jehoshaphat might have thought that he will not face any problems in his life because he was faithful. But now three nations stand against him, ready to destroy him and his people. Jehoshaphat could have begun his prayer by complaining or grumbling to God. Many of us, when we face with a crisis in our life, we tempted to complain to God. We often thank and praise God for his blessings in our lives, but we very rarely thank God for a small thorn he has given in our lives. Jehoshaphat began his prayer by praising God. He knows the challenges before him, so the second part of his prayer identifies the problem. In verse 10 and 11, Jehoshaphat identifies first the external problem, that three nations are seeking to drive the people of Judah out of their land. And verse 12, he identifies the internal problem. He confesses, we are powerless before these great army that are coming against us. Now do we know what to do? We are powerless. Remember, this is Jehoshaphat with an army of 1.1 million people. He's a godly king and powerful king. But again, with all his wealth and his strength, he confesses to God, we are powerless. And not only that, he confesses he's powerless. He also confesses his inability to even know what to be done. He says, nor do we know what to do. Verse 12. I'm sure we all prayed in this way sometime in our life. Oh God, I don't know what to do. Jesus taught his disciples that apart from the Lord, you can do nothing. John chapter 15. So in such a situation, what we will do? The third principle of prayer is ask God for help. After praising God and after confessing his inability to face the enemy, Jehoshaphat says, our eyes are upon thee. Verse 12. Let me read a verse from chapter 16, same book, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. Chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Jehoshaphat knew this truth very well because this word was spoken by the prophet to his father Asa. Look verse 14 and verse 20. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, and verse 15 we read, listen all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you king of Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Verse 16, tomorrow go down against them. Verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear to be dismayed. Tomorrow go out again against them, for the Lord is with you. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, God of Israel, with voices loud and high. Now they received the assurance from the Lord that Lord is in their side to face this crisis. God told them that battle is not yours, but God's. Judah did not need to fight in the battle. Yet, it did not mean that there was nothing for them to do. It was an important step of faith to position yourself, as we read in verse 17, to stand still and to believe that you would see the salvation of the Lord in the face of a large attacking army. The phrase stand still refers to a position we take based on our understanding of who God is and what he will do for us. Our responsibility is to stand fast in our mind on that fact that and face the opposition trusting God. It does not mean that we do not have to do anything. See verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat's student said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of the holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. King Jehoshaphat consulted with his war council and decided to send his choir before the army, singing praises to God. We did not read anything about their equipments of military power, their chariots, their swords or spears, or anything of the power of a 1 million army. But their shield and strength was Jehovah, who is mighty and strong. In verse 22 we read, as they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. It is an amazing picture. A powerful army is coming against King Jehoshaphat with all their military strength. And what did Jehoshaphat do? He sends a choir out in front of the army. The louder the people praise God, the more the enemy was destroyed. When worship is our priority in our life, we connect to the source of strength, the God Almighty. Look verse 24. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Verse 25, when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. Verse 26, and on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Barakah, for there they blessed the Lord. It is one of the amazing stories of God's deliverance for his people. As I mentioned earlier, we face challenges or crises in our lives often. The question is, when will we realize that we need help? Often we depend on our ability to work things out or look to men for help. Only when everything fails, we realize that we need help from God because we are powerless. Jehoshaphat turned his eyes upon the Lord, and God delivered him from the hands of his enemies. In verse 22, we saw how the Lord caused the enemies of Jehoshaphat to turn to one another. As a result, the people of Judah did not even have to go to war. They were powerless, but they worshipped God and looked to God for their help, who is all-powerful and almighty. The enemies of Christian faith comes in many forms. For some, faith may be challenged by a threat of disease, but for others, they may find their jobs or career, their businesses, take most of their time, and they have no time for spiritual matters. Remember that enemies of our faith in Christ are strong, and we know that we are powerless against them. But the Lord will guard our faith if we call upon his name and totally depend on him. Our responsibility is to position ourselves and stand still and see God works for us. When we read and study the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, they will take us through the lives of the kings of Israel and Judah. We read of King David as a man of God's own heart. King Solomon started out very well but failed later in his life. After his death, kingdom was divided. 10 northern tribes called Israel and 2 southern tribes called Judah. We read nothing good at all about any of the 19 kings of Israel. Most of the kings of Judah were also bad. We can see a few good kings actually turned things morally and spiritually around. Jehoshaphat was one of those good kings who seeks to follow God. The lesson I learned from my study, in each case, the importance or the spotlight is on the king. It is what the king does in relationship to God that determines how the nation goes. When the king walked with God in obedience and humility, God always protected the nation and prospered the nation. Even when enemies came against them, God gave them victory over them. But when the king disobeyed and worshipped other gods, God brought famines in their lands to get their attention. God also brought their enemies against them to invade their land and capture them as slaves. The kingdom of Israel and Judah is a picture of each of us, of the kingdom in our own lives. So in your kingdom, you are the king. And nothing can take place in your kingdom without your will and knowledge. What your will allows to enter in, to control your life, decides how the kingdom of your life goes. God chose Israel as a nation of his people to show the rest of the world what God is willing to do in any individual's life. God, in his mercy, chosen each one of us. And when we submit our lives to the authority of God, he can mold us to his own image and make us a blessing for others. When we look at the children of Israel, from the beginning, there were two divisions in the kingdom, between the 10 tribes in north and 2 tribes in south. It is also a picture of the division in our own body, the flesh and the spirit. If we spend a good deal of our time feeding the desires of the flesh, our spiritual man becomes weak and ineffective in our lives. Apostle John reminds us that we should abide in Jesus Christ to produce fruits of the Spirit, because he is the vine and we are the branches. Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that, do you know that your body is the temples of Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you look at the book of Joel, the prophet describing about the coming of the Lord and to judge the nations, we read that he judged the nations, the valley of Jehoshaphat. It's a memory of the great victory God gave to the king Jehoshaphat. The great victory of King Jehoshaphat is an illustration of all the victories God wants to produce in our lives. We know life is a series of mountaintop times as well as valley experiences, when things appear to be coming apart. But those valleys can be turned into the valley of Jehoshaphat if we trust God and wait upon him to work things for us and have victory for us. May God bless these words to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to open thy word and to learn from it. Father, we thank you. You are the God Almighty, and who is willing to help us in any time. As we read in these Psalms, you are the present help in trouble. Father, help us to depend on you in our daily lives so that we can lead a victorious life, victorious Christian life. Send us with thy blessing now. We ask all these things in the precious name for Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.